I'm privileged to share God's word with you today. I said to them in first service, I'm preaching three different messages. So I preached one in the first service titled, You're Appointed to be Fruitful. It's got an underlying tone, all of them. The second one is The Blessings of Fruitfulness, which is this one in this service. And the next one, which is in third service, is Why Am I Not Fruitful? Or Why Am I Not Fruitful Enough? It's a question that we need to always ask ourselves. Nobody needs to ask us that question, but we ourselves. Now, before I go into scripture, I wanted to share a joke with you. Usually, I try and crack a joke, and the active word there is try, and crack a joke before I preach. But I realize I've not done that in a long time. So I thought, not the preaching bit, the cracking the joke bit. I thought I got more serious. So I wanted to crack a joke. So we're going to agree something now. I'll crack the joke, you will laugh, right? Okay, so that means it will work. So, yeah, thank you. Try is the word. So there was this particular gentleman. This can only have happened in America, so please put it in context. I'm saying that now, a disclaimer, because I have a gentleman that works in the police force, so he won't think it's about him and I'm not looking. That is in the congregation. So a man was living in a remote place in America, and he realized that there were burglars around. So the burglars were in his barn. He was really upset. He didn't know what to do. No neighbors to call to help. So he picked up his phone and called the police. And the police told him, oh, you just need to go in and shut the door and just make sure you are safe. It's too far. We're very, very busy. Too many people needing our resources at this time. We can't make it to you. He got really upset. He got frustrated. He dropped the phone. Am I just going to sit down here and people are going to steal my things? Because I live in a remote place, am I going to be punished for that? Then he picked up his phone again. Then he called the police second time around. And he said to them, burglars came to my house and I shot them and killed them. So I just wanted you to know. Within the space of 3 minutes, there were three policemen, two ambulance officers, and one paramedic all coming to rescue the man that is dead. So you didn't laugh enough. That is so fake. When they thought there was no problem, they didn't come. When they thought there was a problem, the resources surfaced from somewhere. It's really good to know that our God is not like that. As good as our policemen, all the servicemen are fantastic, they do great jobs. But it's really good to know that God is a very present help in times of trouble. That's something you should never, ever forget. He's constantly said it to me again and again and again and again. God is very present. He's very present in your situation, he's very present in your challenges, he's very present in your life and in your family. But turn your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 49. I love this chapter. And I'll tell you why I love it. I'm going to read it in the NIV version. So I want to hope it comes up in NIV version from verse 22. The blessings of fruitfulness is what we're going to talk about this service. Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. Next verse, please. We're going to read up to verse 26. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. Next verse. But his bows remained steady, and his strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. If the Bible you're reading is yours, underline, because of the hands of the mighty hand of Jacob, or mighty hand of the Lord, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Next verse. Because of your father's God, who helps you. Underline the Bible you're reading if it's yours as well. Because of the Almighty who blesses you. Underline that. With blessings of the heavens above. There's something called the blessings of the heavens. There's another one called the blessings of the deep that lies below. There's another one called the blessings of the breast and the womb. Next. Number three. So number four, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounties of the age of old. And let all this rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince amongst his brothers. So some of you are wondering, what on earth does that mean? If you're confused, welcome to this great service. You'll get clearer. So that just means you need to give me your attention. Let's pray. Father, thank you, because the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We receive light, which is illumination of spirit. We receive understanding. We receive grace to know how to apply. And we receive the grace to apply. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen and amen. There was a gentleman in the Bible called Jacob.
And Jacob had his name, had an encounter with God, and his name changed to Israel. And Jacob had children, 12 of them. We call them the tribes of Israel today. There's a particular one of them. So in the book of Genesis chapter 49, he was about to die. So he was blessing his children, as was the culture. And actually, it's still the culture in many places up till now. So he was laying hands on the children and pronouncing a blessing on them. When you get home, if you get the time, try and find the time, read that old chapter. You will love it. Absolutely love it. Read it in a simple version that you can understand. And he picked a child after the other. And he compared one to a lion. He compared another one to a donkey, a serpent, a wolf, a deer. And all good things. All good things. All animals, one way or the other. And talked about their blessing. And he pronounced a blessing upon this child. And interestingly, when you look today at those tribes, they have lived out the blessings that their father put upon them. A father's blessing is very important. Very important. If you've missed out on having a physical father, don't panic. A spiritual father's blessing is very important as well. So, but that's not the type. That's not what I'm focusing on today. So this gentleman was compared to a plant. Let's go back to verse 22. The Bible says Joseph is a fruitful vine. Verse 22. A fruitful vine near a spring. Joseph is a fruitful vine. So hence the title of this message being The Blessings of Fruitfulness. When his dad was going to pray for him, he blessed him and told him to be fruitful. Many of us think about fruitfulness from the perspective of having children only, but that's not the only thing that fruitfulness is about. The word fruitful means to be fertile, means to flourish, means to multiply, means to continue to grow and display. Fruit or fruit bearing is an activity on the outside that is a reflection of what is happening on the inside of a plant. So the plant is planted in a good place, watered, given nutrients, and the production or what comes out of that is fruit. So fruit is a result. So like they say to you, 2 + 2 = 4. If we get to 4, we need to know how we got to 4. So the question then is, how can somebody be fruitful? How can we be fruitful in every area of our lives? Do we need to be fruitful in every area of our lives? If you look at that same scripture already, if you look at Genesis chapter 48, it amazed me when I was reading and preparing for this message that in verse 14, Israel has already blessed Joseph. So what's special about it? What is making his dad bless him twice? That he didn't do that for everybody else. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 14, it says, but Israel reached out his right hand and put it upon Ephraim and Ephraim's head, though he was the younger one, and then he blessed him. Let me read it in this version. It says, then Israel reached out of his hand and laid it on Ephraim's head and was the younger one and left him at Manasseh and guided his hand knowingly. And verse 15 says, and he blessed Joseph. Look at that. He blessed Joseph. May the God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life, may be with you. So why would you pick out a child out of 12 children and bless him and bless him and bless him again? And when he was about to talk about him, he was talking about his fruitfulness. It's very easy to note, if you really look at the life of Joseph, that he actually lived his life, if in the context of today, displaying the fruit of the Spirit. So you think, well, maybe because he had so many reasons to not love. He had so many excuses. Every reason under the earth. From the home where he comes from, to the brothers that he's supposed to have, to the places where he thought he went to help people. He had every excuse not to love, but he chose to. He had every excuse not to be at peace. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit now, but he chose to. In fact, you look at loads and loads of scripture that shows that. He had every excuse not to live in joy. Because he was put in a very difficult place in life. But he chose to. He had every excuse not to be long-suffering. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. But he chose to. And he continued to display them. He had every reason not to be gentle. Not to be gentle towards the butler. Not to be gentle towards the baker. To think life has treated him badly. And I need to display and show that I've had a bad life. He had every reason. But he chose not to. He had every single reason under the sun that you can think about. Not to be good. The fruit of goodness. Why should I be good? Everybody has been bad to me. I'm just reacting based on what they've done to me.
Why should I be good? If God was there, why did I go through this and that and the other? He had all the reasons to do that, but he chose not to do that. He had every excuse not to display faith. Why display faith? I had displayed faith before and it didn't work. He had every excuse not to be meek. He had every single excuse to lack self-control. He really had the excuse. He was tempted left, right, and center. There was nobody there. Nobody will know if he had done the wrong thing. He was tempted so many times. He was pulled in many angles. He had all the excuses in the world not to display the fruit of the Spirit, but he chose to display them. So I am not surprised. I am not surprised that his dad, when he was going, decided to bless this guy double times, more than everybody else. His dad saw something about him. But why was he able to do all of that? I think it has a lot to do with the source. If we go to that Genesis chapter 49, that same verse 22, I think that is where the secret lies of the man that is blessed and that is fruitful all his life. The source of his true virtues. The Bible says, and I read, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring. Another version says, by the well. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm chapter 1, let me show you the life of a man that is by the well, or by the rivers, or by the spring. The Bible says about this man, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, from verse 1, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the spring, by the river, by the well, by the waters, that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaves shall not go wither. It's normal, it's natural to have leaves that shines and are green in one season and wither in another season, but a man that is planted by the well, by the springs, by the waters of life, will never, never wither. They will suspend the natural nature of life. Nature says there is a season for a leaf to come up, and there's a season for it to wither. But the Bible made us understand there is somebody who decided to plant himself by the waters of life, by the wells of life. They will never wither. I was reading a story about a particular region in India. This region is so dry, and it's always been known to be dry. Nothing ever grows there, and nothing gets done there. So a missionary went there in the 40s or 30s, a missionary went there, and he happened to be a scientist. And while he was researching, he decided that they could do like an irrigation system and direct water, which God has sent from heaven, in a wise way, into us that particular area. And all of a sudden, because of what was done, the spring that was set up in that place, targeting and putting water all over the place, up till today, that region is now known as the fruitful vine or fruitful valley. Because that region has the best type of rice that is exported around the world. The whole of India depends on that particular region. It used to be a dry place. But somebody came and had the wisdom to put a spring by it. God has called you and I to live a fruitful life. God has called you and I to display him in the things we do. But where we dwell is what will determine how far we go in being able to produce fruit in season and out of season. The Bible made us understand that this gentleman's root was deep in the well, Joseph. That Genesis chapter 49 verse 22, his root was deep in the well. You see, the thing about the root is this, you don't see it. So nobody knows where the root is. However, the well that is supplying the root is what is making the tree to produce fruit year in, year out. My question to you is, what is the well supplying your tree? It's unseen. And in this context, in our context, it is God. It is dwelling in him, dwelling in his word, hanging out with him to be able to produce fruit in season and out of season. This guy was blessed beyond measure. He wasn't blessed just because he was saying it. He was blessed and it was obvious. You know, the blessing that you don't need to say because before people know that you have been blessed. You don't need to. There are some blessings like that. You don't need to say it. You just walk through the door and everybody says congratulations. You have not even said anything. They just see that the Lord had blessed you. This guy was living in that dimension, year in, year out, day in, day out, the blessings of fruitfulness. Which source is in God? Let me read a scripture to you that I read earlier while I was studying. Genesis chapter 2, verse 13. Sorry. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, and I read, for my people have committed two evil or two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of the living water. And then they have dug their own well. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What is the problem? God has given us a spring of living water. God has given us what we need to produce fruit every time. But you and I sometimes think we are wiser than God. My friend did it this way. Let's try this way. Actually, everybody that have come to England before me have been doing this. But God said, my people have forsaken me. They have given me... Please go back to that scripture. He says, they have committed two evil, two sins. And you know that when there is sin, God's eyes cannot behold iniquity. It can't behold sin. Even when Jesus had sin upon him, the sin of the world, God had to look away. So if you and I are committing a sin, God cannot look upon you. If he cannot look upon you, he can't bless you. If he cannot bless you, you cannot be fruitful. If you cannot be fruitful, it's a matter of time you wither and die. I mean, not physical death. Withering. Lack of productivity. Lack of multiplication. Frustration. You get tired. Oh, I think it's this line of career. Let's try a different one. It says, my people have forsaken me, the spring of living water. If you and I would just take time to dwell in the and by the spring of living water, we will never go dry. He said, then they have dug their own cistern. So they did two things. They forsook me. And then number two, they decided to dig their own well. I'm wiser. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I went to school. I studied. I understand myself. I know myself. I know my... Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Because God said, stay by my spring of living water so you can be guaranteed to be fruitful year in, year out. Get back into the source of true life. The one that never, never stops to produce for you. This gentleman's growth was a function of his root. If a tree will grow, the root has got to be sorted out. This gentleman was deep in God. And I'm talking about the man Joseph. The fact that he was deep in God did not mean he wouldn't go through challenges. Going back to that same scripture. Because I need to show you a few of the challenges he went through from that scripture. Genesis chapter 49. If you look at that verse 22, it says something about him. Genesis 49, 22. Can I have it back, please? It says, Joseph is a fruitful vine. Another chapter says, a fruitful branch. A fruitful branch near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. When your root is deep in Christ, yes, there will be walls. There will be things, there will be barriers that want to stand in your way of going to the next phase of life, going into the place that you need to be much more fruitful. However, your branches will climb over the wall. The higher the barrier, the higher your branches go, because your root is deep in Christ. When we get the roots deep and we get the roots right, it does not matter how big a challenge is. Everybody could have been going through it and not been able to scale it. You just get supernatural power to scale it. Because of your root. So where is your root? Have you dug your own well? Do you have an idea of how you want to sort your problems out? Or is your root in Christ where you can sort it out so that you can begin to climb over challenges? The fact that you're a believer does not mean you will not have walls. But whether you will scale the wall or not is a function of where your root is. Do you remember that scripture? It said, blessed be the Lord our God. It said, he is the one that helps us to scale over a wall. Say, by my God, I can leap over a wall. How are you going to leap over a wall? By your ideas? By your trial and error? You try this one, you fail in it. You try that one, you fail in it. You try that one, you fail in it. Why are you building your own cistern when you can depend on God? A cistern is a well. Why are you building your own well when the spring of life is available for you and I? But the question is, would you and I take time out to sit by the spring of life and allow ourselves to grow, for our roots to go deep and our branches to go high and our branches to come out, our vine to grow high and our branches to come out with fruits? Would we really do that? Because the real work is in the dark, is in the unseen, is in the place where nobody is. I've always said to people, if you have a challenge in life, find yourself scriptures that have to do with that challenge. One thing you are sure of, God's word never fails. So, but the quicker you discover it, the quicker you get to know it, the quicker you get to display what God wants to display from it. And I always say to people, when you go to see the doctor, they say to you, take this pill 2-3 times every day. If you have a challenge that you think is not shifting, get a scripture 2-3 times every day. You should never put any meal into your mouth without getting God's word in that area. If you are really serious about it, go on it for 7 days. See if that antibiotics will not clear the disease. But you know what? We don't want to do it. I've prayed. God has not done it. Let me go tell the prayer team in the church to pray. Miss Angela, please let me pray about this. God has not done it yet. Let's take it a bit higher. Let's take it to Pastor Bola. God has not done it. Let's take Pastor Femi. God has not done it. Oh, it must be Pastor Eddie that he needs. God has not done it. It must be a bishop right now. That's not what you need. The secret to your continuous blessed fruitfulness is in your hands and my hands. A blessing was pronounced by a father upon Joseph. It's a great thing to know that that's our lineage as well. So you have the blessing already. The question is not, are you blessed? You are blessed. But the question is, will you be fruitful? It's your choice. After Joseph has received that blessing, if he goes home and he sits down and he chooses not to scale the wall around him, it's not because God has not put in him the ability to scale a wall. It is because he chose not to. After that time, if Joseph decided that he was going to move away from the spring that he has been planted in, do you know what will happen? It will dry, and unfortunately, it will not be God's fault. And many people are like that. Why did God not do it? I'm going to talk about the why of things like that in third service. But in this service, I just want us to focus a little bit about this gentleman. He was favored of God because he rested in God. He was able to scale a wall because he had God with him. He was a man that was determined to move forward. So let us just look at a few things there. The branch. He said he is a fruitful branch. He is a fruitful branch. You and I are branch or branches for God. But are you a fruitful branch? In first service, I was teaching about the fruitful branch and the branch that if it does not produce fruit, it will be cut off. Because there were some things I discovered about a vine recently, that a vine, when it is well taken care of, can give up to 100 years of fruitfulness. Year in, year out, 100 years. And one branch can produce up to 80 pounds of grapes. One branch. However, when one branch is diseased, there's a disease on it, that disease can spread so quickly. So because of that, it is the work of the vineyard owner or the gardener to cut off that branch very quickly so it doesn't spread throughout the tree and kill the tree and create the productivity of the tree. So inside of you, I said in first service, you are created for fruitfulness. You have been created to be fruitful. You are actually also commanded to be fruitful. We think commandment is following the Ten Commandments and not sinning. So we're very happy to say, I do not lie. I do not steal. That's what the Ten Commandments says, and I live by it. But you know what? If you do not produce, if you are not fruitful, you and I are not walking in the total will of God. If you are not fruitful, you and I are not walking in the complete will of God. Why? Because it says, be fruitful. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. So now that he has commanded, what are you and I going to do about the commandment? We're created to be fruitful. We're commanded to be fruitful. John chapter 15 said, we were chosen to be fruitful. He said, I've chosen you that you will bear fruit and bear more fruit. That's what God's word says. So now that he has chosen, now that you are blessed, when are you going to start displaying the fruit that God has put inside of you? How was Joseph able to do it and do it conveniently? He had a source. The source is in God. The source was the well. If you and I will ever display God, display fruitfulness in every area of our lives, we need to get ingrained in the word of God. There's no two ways about it. There's just no option. There's no option. If last year you didn't know what God was saying about healing and you were sick 6 times, this year you still don't know what God was saying about healing and you're already sick 3 times, you're already on your way to the 6th time plus more. The thing about the devil is he knows his field, he knows his stuff, so he does a good job of what he's meant to do. So it makes it worse. If you were sick last year, 6 times, and you did not know how to, you know, put a fence around yourself, I said, no more to this thing. Do you know what? By next year, it will be 12 times. By the year after, it will be 24 times. And I always say to people, the thing about God and the school of life, the school with God, is that if you don't pass an exam, he has another way of bringing it back. No, United Kingdom, you don't fail. Where you used to fail, where I come from. You repeat classes. In my entire life, don't let him know I told you this. I've never seen anybody that repeated a primary school in my life except Pastor Eddie. In my life, I've never seen it before. Don't let him know I told you this. Oh, he's not watching. I hope not. Where I come from? Okay. okay, well, in my life, I've never seen any two people that repeated apart from Femi. How would you repeat a primary school? Anyway, going back to the point of the message. So when we repeat, at least the people that repeated knows that they didn't know something, right? So they sit down to do it again. So when you have a reference, you have been told that you don't know something. So you sit down and do it again. But the unfortunate thing in United Kingdom is we have a system where you don't repeat any class. So you assume you are good. And you only know you're not good when you get to the field. Let me give you a little story. When I first came to United Kingdom, I had all the academic knowledge. Again, that's why it doesn't, since the children are not here, I can say it doesn't matter too much if you repeat because at least you get to know it better. Children are not here. So that was for Pastor Eddie. But you know what happened to me? When I first came to United Kingdom, all qualified and all, where the country I'm from, we're very academically oriented. So you just study. You probably have never seen a physical environment before. I had a gentleman that taught me auditing. He had never seen a computer before, but he described the whole thing verbatim. And by the time I finished, I'd never seen a computer in my life, but I knew everything about a computer. So the lecturer passes the knowledge that I didn't know enough of to me, who took it on from there and passed it on to somebody else as well, because I also became a lecturer, part-time professional school lecturer as well. And I passed the same thing on. And you know what? Everybody passed. And then I came to UK. My very first proper job. I just had a baby. I needed a job, a part-time job. I just had my second child. I needed a part-time job in accounting. So I got this job that was in, we're living in Thamesmead there. I got a job in Dartford. It was very convenient. It couldn't have got any better. It was only 3 days a week to make it even more exciting. So I got to the place. They did not have an accountant or a bookkeeper. It was a trading organization. And the lady said, I'm so happy you're qualified. Just get on with it. So I looked at the books. It was not the way I used to see it. I looked at the computer. It didn't look like what I thought it should look like. So I started trying to bring out everything I had in my brain. It didn't add up. I had the simplest task ever. If you're an accountant, you know, bank reconciliation. I didn't know where to start from. I didn't know where to end it. And by this time, without exaggeration, where I was coming from, I was already in senior management in the organization I was working for. And I was not. It was not a rubbish company. It was an international organization. But I did only one aspect of things. I never typed anything for myself, so I don't need a computer. I had a secretary. And I was a young professional, but I was doing so well in my field. But, you know, we took a detour to Cyprus, so half of what I knew was gone anyway. Let's start with that. But by this time, I knew everything about cleaning. If they told me to clean that office, I would clean it inside out. However, I thought I knew. Until I got to the place where I discovered I did not know. So, I sat this day. I tried to reconcile. They didn't add up. I went to the bathroom. I sat on the toilet. I started crying. I said, God. I said, we need this money. Because as at this time, our bills was in the region of, I think, 1,300 and 1,200, and the husband was coming up with 900. So we needed £300. We needed £300 urgently. So I could not afford not to get the job. It was very convenient. I could not afford to be sent to London. I could not afford to lose that job, basically. And the lady thought she got me at a cheap rate. But this is me that didn't know anything, but I thought I knew until I got to the field where I needed to practice. I came back out. I sat and looked at it. It didn't make sense. It actually got worse because I now had tears in my eyes. So I couldn't even see the figures properly. So I went back to the bathroom again. I said, okay, it's not going to be about tears. So I wiped my eyes. I didn't have a mobile phone to call my husband and say, help. So I remember my help comes from above. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I said, God, I need your help speedily. I don't know whether you know accounting, but I need your help. Would you believe what happened to me when I came out of that bathroom? I came out, and the company's accountant, so they had an external accountant, came in. He had already come in, so my boss, the owner of the organization, came to the room where I was sitting in and said, oh, the company accountant just came in, and he wants to let me know how they want it done. So he's going to show me how they want it done, not knowing that I did not know how to do it. But that could only have been God. Now, that is what they call don't try this at home. Me too, I did not try it again after that.
But that was God just delivering me for mercy, thinking, if we don't do this for this girl, this children will die of hunger. I'm not sure it was because of me. Maybe it's because of Pastor Eddie and the children. We needed the job. So all of a sudden, somebody sat me down and said, this is how to do it. This is how we want it done. Not this is how to do it. This is how we want it done here, and so on and so forth. That was my initiation into proper job in the United Kingdom. If not for God. If not for God. But you know what? The field showed me that I was not good in what I thought I was good at. By this time, I was actually close to being, I've practiced for so long in my field. If you practice for so long, you will become like a master at it, sort of. So I was almost getting that label of a master at the field that I did not know anything at. And sometimes that is how life is for many of us. Somebody calls you a master at something you know nothing about. I've done the testing exam and I've passed tests, so I'm a test analyst right now. I don't know what that means, by the way. I just know the name. And then you go to the field, the environment. I thought, this is not what they taught us in the class. I'm a project manager. So they didn't say it like this. Does anybody have Femi's number? And then you call him and he's not available. Because he's in his own employer's field as well. You can't call Pastor Bala because I can't help you. You can't call Pastor Eddie because he can't help you. But what are you going to do? When you find yourself in an environment where you need to display what has been inside of you before, what's going to come out? That's why you and I need to work really hard to make sure we bring out the fruitfulness or the blessings of the fruitfulness that God has put inside of us. There's so much inside you. There's so much inside you. Honestly, the fact that people say over and over again, many of us have now, we've started playing it down because we don't believe it anymore. Yeah, they said so. But there's so much inside you. I was listening to a documentary a short while ago, and a gentleman was talking about, he's a very successful man right now. He talked about the fact that he used to live with his grandma. He said he would come back home with a report card that had F's on it all through. And his grandma would look at him and say, Joe, you are so good, you will turn out right. He said he's thinking, if you did not have the report card, at least you can believe me if I told you I did very well in school. But you have the report card that gives you the evidence that I am rubbish. And you are still saying, you are so good. The grandma said it over and over again. The guy, he said, every time a door shuts against him, he looks for a window. When the window is shut, he looks for a crack in the ceiling. He never stopped because he kept remembering what his grandma had said about him. Please remember what God has said about you. Not what life has said about you. Not all the errors. Because life was saying something to him in the report card. His grandma was telling him something else. As God would have it, he listened to his grandma. I don't care what life is saying to you, but I care what God is saying to you. My question is, what is God saying to you? Joseph is a fruitful vine. Joseph is a fruitful branch. A branch that made its roots by the wells of life. When you and I make our root by the well of life, we will be fruitful forever. He had success, so he had a source. He had success. Everybody is made from something that is the root. You never. People say the secret to my success. Nobody sees the secret in the public. If it's seen in public, then it's no longer a secret. The secret to your success should be the word of God that has been spoken over you, reflected in you, and showing forth. That's what fruit is. A fruit is a display of what's happening inside that nobody can see. But the conditions, just put the conditions in place and we expect the seed to germinate and fruits to come out with time. I was saying to them in the first service that in a vine is pruned and taken care of for 3 to 5 years before it starts producing at all. So anybody can see it in his first year and say, this is a write-off. Second year, with this behavior, God cannot accept you. Third year, the church will almost drive you out because of your behavior. Fourth year, when will this child learn? He's been in discipleship class year in, year out, and they have not changed. In fact, your wife has given up on you. Your husband has given up on you. Everybody, your lecturers, everybody. They think, if the same thing is plaguing him, this is year 5, it's still plaguing him. What are we doing? But at the end of year 5, the pruning is now complete. Hard work, as it was. Then it starts bearing fruit. And then it bears fruit for the next 100 years. 80 pounds of weight per branch. That is not small. Because of what God wants to do, the pruning can take longer. Sometimes the root needs to go deeper.
and we get better. Because of what God has spoken over your life, your responsibility is now to sit down by the spring of life, by the well of life, and get it right. Every time I want to go into anything, a project, marriage, I don't know him. I just know the person he is that I see on the surface. But if somebody is a product of where they're coming from, nobody just landed here yesterday. I don't believe you will marry a child that just landed yesterday. That would be a one-day-old baby. You can't. But you can marry somebody that is 28 years old, but that means 28 years of history, 28 years of background, 28 years of doing something in a particular way, which is going to come challenging. But how do you know how a 28-year-old man will behave when he's 54 or 56? You will never know. But when you sit down and go into the well of life and hear the mind of God concerning that person and that thing, and then you choose to walk the path, you will have a great time producing fruit. That is the way it's meant to be. Nobody has the monopoly of growth in Christ, of an access route to God. In actual fact, that John chapter 15 we read earlier, it says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask anything you desire. So the people that you look at say, "What? You know what? We prayed for this job together, he got it. What's the problem? We prayed for a husband together, she got one. What is the problem? We pray for children at the same time, she got it. We pray for a change of career, he got it. What is it? We were all in a 3-bedroom house and all of a sudden he's living in a 5-bedroom house. How? The reason why it looks like one life is fruitful and the other one is not is because somebody's root is in the spring or the well of life. And it has been built for you. You don't need to do the hard work. You don't need to build it. The declaration has been made over your life. The Father has blessed you. But the job is now in your hand and my hand to dwell by the spring of life. Now, it's one thing to dwell by the word and know it inside as another thing to live it. Without living it, you can never, never benefit from it. That was my problem. I knew it. I knew it so much that I could train it. I'm talking about accounting. I knew it so much. I was a prize winner. I was that good at it, supposedly, in my head. I used to say to people that I used to be very, very intelligent, and then I had children, and then I got more intelligence. You know? And then, do you know what? So I knew it all here, but I don't know how to do it. And that sometimes is the problem. If you come to church long enough, you hear some scriptures. In fact, one day I told myself, I said, I'm going to challenge myself. Do I know where these scriptures are if I don't go to Google? Do you know, I used to know them. I used to know them so well. Because there was no Google. There was only the concordance. There was Wells, this massive book like this. Do you know all those books in those days? There was, this particular one. T.D. Jakes, Strong's. When you are studying your Bible, you sit down, you have all these massive things. If you have not invested in them, you have not started your Christian walk. It was an investment. Anybody remember what I'm talking about? Okay, shows your age. It's an investment. Don't go there. And then, do you know what happens? You sit down, you know it in your knowing. Because by the time you go and read it in 3 different versions, how it came about, what it's about, you know it so well. When something comes against you, it automatically just pops up for you to use. Why? You have spent so much time digging, and walking on the route. Then we had the challenge or the blessing of Google. So if a scripture comes into my heart, I just go and Google it now. I didn't know that my brain was getting lazy. When your brain gets lazy, sometimes if you're not careful, your spirit can get lazy too. Oh, it's all right. I don't know where it is. I'll just hear the phrase in my spirit. And one day I told myself, Bolanle, in the past, when the phrase comes, the whole verse comes, where it is comes. Now I just pick up my phone halfway through praying and talking to God. I say, where is this scripture again? I said, because that phrase is only a little part of a bigger thing that God is about to say to me. Supposing I'm not anywhere, I can pick up Google, or there's no network. I'll just say only half of the message from God. Take time to invest in your knowledge of your God. Not for anybody, not for display, for yourself. Let the only display be the fruitfulness that comes out of you. So this gentleman had a branch. His branch is in God. This gentleman had a bow. That's the second thing. Verses 23 to 24. Let's read verses 23 to 24. Genesis chapter 29. Genesis 49. Are you blessed? Am I speaking too fast? Good. Genesis chapter 49 from verses 23 to 24. The Bible says, with bitterness, Achish attacked him.
They shot at him with hostility. Next verse. But his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. He had a branch, but his branch was a product of his root. He had a bow. He had a bow. He had something to fight the battles of life with. Why would a blessed man have to fight the battles of life? Because that is part of life. You cannot be promoted if you haven't fought a battle and won. God gave the children of Israel the promised land, and they still had to fight for it. There are some things, if you don't fight for them, they stay the same way for life. You don't like something, you fight for it. Not physically, you fight for it in the place of prayer, on your knees. Your fighting is not physical. Many of us get it so wrong. He has a bow, but the hand of the Lord was the one that was upon the bow. The hand of the Lord was one that made all the difference with the bow. He had enemies, even though he was blessed of God. It seemed like he was forsaken by his brothers. It seemed like life was all against him. It seems like he was forgotten. It seems like famine will never end in his life. It seems like the flesh will always overcome him. It seems like problem after problem after problem, but he had a bow. And if you look at the book of Ephesians, and it was talking to us about things we need to fight our battles of life with, the bow, again, go back to it, is the word of God. You don't like it? What are you fighting the battle with? With your tongue? With which words? The words you know or the ones you don't know? There are some things that will never shift until you know the word you need to use to shift them. Do you know why? Because the devil is very, very persistent. Particularly when you want to shift things in the lives of other people that are around you. It's a battle. Because they also have their will. It's a big battle. But the Bible made us understand that he was blessed and fruitful because there was a bow in his hand. The hand of the Lord was what was over the bow that made the bow produce as much as it should, but he had a bow. If God wants to put his hand upon the bow in your hand to give power to that bow, what's he going to find? Nothing. If he finds an empty hand, what's God going to help you with? You can multiply zero by 10,000. It still comes out to be zero. But even if he has only one, just one arrow, is more than enough. Multiply that by God's 10,000 power, it becomes 10,000. So you still need a bow. You still need an instrument of battle. Because life is not a party. It's not a party. It's not a party. When we get to heaven, we party for life. But now that we are here, we fight for things that are important to us. We fight for the people that are important to us. We fight and fight and get the victory at the end of the day. Why? Because you have been blessed for victory. So if the children of Israel had left Egypt on their way to the promised land, and they said, well, God said it to us, look at the wall. We can't bring this wall down. We can't go in. And they stopped. Do you know some of them, about 2.5 tribes, camped outside. And those ones too, we say they got there. They didn't get there. If you think you are there already, God just needs to open your eyes to see the things he has in stock for you that you have not claimed, that you have not achieved, that you have not become. He had this branch and his root in Christ. He also had a bow. Then he had the pronouncement of a blessing. He had the pronouncement of a blessing. If you look from verses 25 to 26, he talked about different blessings from different angles. There's the blessing of the Almighty that was upon him. He said, who has blessed you with the blessings of the heavens? A man whose root is deep in Christ will always have the blessings of the heavens. You do a little bit, it's as if the heavens are really open over you. You just do your little, and God puts his hand upon the bow in your hand and just makes it go so fast, so well. When you are a blessed person, I always say to people, be diligent enough to do your little so that God makes your little become large because you're blessed. The blessings of the heavens come upon people that are blessed by their father. It comes upon people that have a blessed branch. It comes upon people that have a bow in their hand. Where is your branch and where is your bow? Because without the branch or the bow, the blessing will be in vain. If your branch is not in Christ concerning that issue, you can't move anything. You really can't. You can nag till that kingdom come, you will never move anything. You know why? Because nagging never created the person, so nagging cannot change them. That's why I don't nag. I barely complain. Because complaints did not create them. Complaints can never change them. However,
The word of God made that person and that thing. The word of God will change it. So go back into the word. So when I say to people, so what word are you using to fight this battle? I don't like it, I don't like it. It is not I don't like it. Because the devil does not, react to or respond to, I don't like it. In fact, he does not respond to, I'm upset. In fact, he does not respond to, I feel a sense of injustice. It doesn't. But it responds to the word of God. One common language. But will you use your own? I will use mine to get all the victories I need in every area of my life. He had blessings upon him. The blessings of the heavens. The blessings of the deep that lies below. Every land you stand upon has a blessing in it. I'm going to teach one day. I'm going to teach us about these different blessings. I don't have the time to talk about it today. Because the message today is not necessarily those blessings. The message today is, I want you to know that you're already fruitful. You're blessed to be fruitful. But determine and decide to get your branch deep in God's word. And get your bow in your hands to do battle for the great things that are ahead of you. Because the blessings are there and they need to reflect. Why do they need to reflect? Because when they reflect, everybody sees the good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. They reflect in so many things. Sound health, sound mind, sound spirit. They reflect in so many things. Prosperity, peace, progress. You know, people that you make £10,000 today, you are rejoicing. And tomorrow, you make a loss of £5,000. The day after, you make a loss of £7,000. Have you not noticed that by the end of that week, you have already made a loss? What's the point of the rejoicing? That's not how God desires it to be. The way God designs it to be is progress upon progress upon progress. In Genesis, we read Genesis 26 the other day. It said, and Isaac prospered. He said, Isaac began to prosper. And he prospered. And he became very prosperous. There are levels. As you are dwelling in Christ, the more you dwell in Christ, the more, the higher your level of fruitfulness becomes, the more people see it, the more they get attracted to you. You don't need to do the talking anymore now. They come and ask you, what is God doing in your life? Because I need to know. What are you doing? There are some people that will never respond to anything you have to say. So God has to bless you so they can respond to what they've seen in your life. So you need blessing. It's very important. So how will you get it? It's already there. So how do you reflect it as a fruit? You sit down by the well. You go and get into the word of God and get rich and get nourished and get watered by it. And then you hold your bow and use that to do battle in life. Rise to your feet with me. And begin to give thanks for the word he has sent to you today. God has sent a word to you. I don't know what area of your life you need to display God's fruitfulness. But ask for grace. Grace. It takes grace to dwell. It really takes grace to dwell. Because many things will want to move you away from where you are dwelling. One day I'm going to teach us about how to dwell. Because there is a way to dwell. There is a way to dwell. Dwelling means to live in a place. To stay in that place. To not move no matter what happens. There will be so many distractions in life that want you to move. Because he knows that there is a blessing of the Father, a blessing of heaven, a blessing below, a blessing from the breast and the womb, that is a blessing from a mother. All of these things are there. But the devil will know, he will shake you, shift you, take your eyes away so you don't get to manifest those things simply because he knows what God has for you. I want you to pray for yourself against the spirit of distraction. Now, Lord, I'm going to display every single thing you've put inside of me. In the name of Jesus, I will dwell, I will be rooted in you, and I will hold your bow in my hands. So shall it be in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Put your beautiful hands together for the Lord and take your seat.
Amen.